Welcome to Loud and Clear, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices of women in music. I'm your host, Olivia Adams, and welcome to our series called YXE Divas, the artistic voices behind the Saskatoon Symphony Orchestra's upcoming show. As part of this series, I'm interviewing each of the solo artists featured in the show, and we are releasing episodes as a lead up to the event. Today, it is my pleasure to chat with Ellen Nasser. Performing artist Ellen Nasser was raised in a small Saskatchewan community named Salt Coats. Typical of rural life, Nasser took music lessons as a way to fill the long, hot prairie summer days and the cold winter ones that keep you stuck indoors. She began her musical career with the touring musical review Saskatchewan Express, as well as the Canadian Heritage Society's Spirit of a Nation, a showcase of Canadian song and dance celebrating Canada's cultures and history. Nasser studied at the prestigious Canadian College of Performing Arts in Victoria, BC, and honed her musical talents aboard Norwegian cruise lines. Multi-talented, Nasser has also acted in TV series like Rabbit Fall and Corner Gas, as well as in stage adaptions of Evita and Toontown with Saskatoon's Persephone Theatre. As a songwriter and recording artist, Nasser has 5 albums to her name and has completed a Christmas album that was released on December 7th, 2019, the evening she performed with the Saskatoon Symphony Orchestra. To conclude a full 2019, Ellen released a comical Christmas video, Am I the Only One, on YouTube and her other social media platforms. Getting lots of giggles and shares, Ellen is most happy expressing herself. Ellen has released numerous songs to country radio, including Sweet Millie, How Christmas Used to Feel, Almost Christmas, Something in Me, and 8 More Days. Most recently, Ellen has released her Stillness album of piano compositions. Currently, she is studying her Level 8 Royal Conservatory of Music with Saskatoon piano sensation Martin Yanofsky. Ellen loves to create, connect, and enjoy life. She is always writing, performing, and evolving. The truest loves of her life are her hubby Johnny and their 4 babies, Bella, Millie, Sam, Walt, and puppy Sophie. Watch for Ellen performing at a venue near you. And here is my conversation with Ellen Nasser. How are you doing, Ellen?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How are you, Olivia?
I'm good. Thank you. Well, I like to start off all of my podcast episodes, and I know that you've listened to the show, so you know this already, but I like to start my interviews with the same question, and that's, what led you down the path of becoming a musician?
Well, funny. Our family was quite musical, but just mostly for fun. My mom was a nurse, and my dad was a legal aid lawyer in a small town. Like, we were in Salt Coat, Saskatchewan, and then he was a legal aid lawyer in Yorkton. And my mom led the choirs, and I can remember her, now that we're talking about this, that she took piano lessons when she was older. There was 4 of us kids in the family, and I think it was just something that we always did. Like, we were a big sports family, but we just always sang. We would sing for my grandparents. We would just, it was just a part of our childhood, I guess.
So then you were singing, and then it was, when was it where you're like, oh, like, maybe I can do this as part of my everyday life?
So I was figure skating, and I was doing a lot of performing on the ice. And I think I fell 1 too many times, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to move my performing to the stage. So then I auditioned for Saskatchewan Express, which is a touring musical review. The rest is history. Carol Gay Bell was the founder. And I remember we were on a bus, a tour bus to Utah. I think it was Utah. And I was sitting in the front of the bus, and I said, Carol, my dream is to be a singer on a cruise line. And she said, we'll do it. She was, honestly, she's probably like 80 years old. She looked at me and she goes, we'll do it, Ellen. She goes, you could do that. I said, are you serious? And like, I can remember it, that it was dark and we were just visiting, and it was a big bus. And she's like, oh, you absolutely. So I did a summer with Saskatchewan Express, and then I did a winter school tour. And then it was after the school tour, I auditioned for Canadian College of Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. And they did a cross Canada audition. And then they said, well, while we're auditioning you for the college, do you want to audition for the show? It was Spirit of a Nation. So they chose probably 20 of us from across Canada to celebrate Canada's diversity. And there was about 6 shows. And I was in all of them. So that was in Sydney, BC. And then the following fall, I started at the Canadian College of Performing Arts, and I did that for 2 years. And I will say that was the year that Carly Rae Jepsen was there, but she wasn't Carly Rae. She was just Carly. That was kind of cool. She used to think I was a good singer, just so you know. I know. So then Gina and Ryan Productions came to the college to do auditions. And yeah, they asked me to sing on Norwegian Cruise Lines. And so I did that. And the choreographer that did our show, so we went to Fort Lauderdale and trained for basically and rehearsed for basically 3 weeks. And then the choreographer was actually, she was a rocket.
Machiko. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So the shows were awesome. And like, some of the shows, or some of the performers, like, because they were from all across, well, all around the world. And like, one was like a Vegas showgirl, and one gal was from Broadway. She did a musical on Broadway. And like, there was like Lolito dancers. Like, it was a phenomenal cast. And yeah, so then I guess that's when I found out I could maybe sing and dance for a living, maybe. I don't know. Crazy.
That's amazing. And it all started on this, you know, tour bus.
Totally.
From Saskatchewan. Totally. Yeah.
Yes. Going to Idaho. Like, it's so weird when you think about it. But I was always a performer. Like, I'm a Leo, and I'm such a creative in all things in my life. Like, we have our 4 kids, and every day is, I wake up and I know that I have to be creative some way. Like, whether it's creative in solving problems, whether it's creativity at the piano, whether it's creativity in my mindset, like, I know that we're all creative. Mm-hmm. And I said to my husband last night, because I started studying Royal Conservatory piano 3 years ago, and I'm on my level 8. I've been studying with Martin Yanofsky, and it's so much work.
Martin was my teacher.
What?
Yes.
Are you joking?
No, I took with him in high school. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you know how much I love Martin.
He's just a doll.
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me cry. So every Wednesday at 2, so about 3 years ago, I had this feeling that I had to start piano lessons. I hadn't done piano lessons since I was, well, probably 12. And my mom and grandma, honestly, like, they were just like, what is this? Like, she's going to start piano lessons. And I said to John last night, I don't know what I would have done these past 3 years with everything without my music. Mm. It's so healing. Music is so healing. And Martin's like a breath of fresh air.
He's wonderful.
I know. And doesn't he crack you up? He's yes. So funny. He just, like, even the wealth of knowledge that he has, right? You don't get that with everybody. So yeah, Martin's just been amazing. And then, so I've been singing and writing and born Ellen Kolinick. And then I had a pop country phase where I was Ellie Thorne. My mom's maiden name was Thorsness. So I thought Ellie Thorne was kind of cool. And, you know, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I was like nuts to everything. Like, I was like, my dad was sick and he passed away. And I was like, I'm just Ellen Nasser. I'm selling houses. I'm singing songs. I'm creative. I'm studying piano, and no more. I'm just like Ellen Nasser. I don't need a, that's my name. And I'm a mom, and I'm performing when I can. And I love it. I have such a passion for it. And that's it. I'm 41. I don't care. Right. I don't care anymore. It's like, No, maybe I care so much that it's just like, this is who I am. And this is the gist of it. These are the hats I'm wearing for now at 41. I don't have a clue what the next few years will look like. I shouldn't say not any chance that I can get to perform, because that's not true anymore. I am being picky choosy, because I need to listen to my heart. And I can only say yes now to the things that resonate with me. Mm-hmm. You're into that. I know that you get that.
Well, and saying no to something, it means that opportunity can be a yes for somebody that's right for that position, right?
Oh, that gave me goosebumps. Isn't that true? No, Olivia, that's That's totally true. Like letting my no be a yes for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I was wondering, when you're describing your songwriting, and I know that your songwriting can come from all of the songwriters that I've interviewed can come from so many different places. I wondered, how would you describe your songwriting process and your creative process when you're making music?
Well, I feel like I write from what I know. Mm-hmm. I write from my heartache. I write from my dreams. I write from, like, for example, right now, I just sat down 2 days ago at the piano and the sunlight was pouring in the room. The snow was melting. The kids were around and I just had this beautiful melody and it just poured out. It's in G major. I sat down at the piano and it just started to pour out. And as it was pouring out, I started having another idea and then another idea. And then it's funny because now 2 days later, I went back to it. And oh, that's the other thing, is that I post this stuff because I think it's important for people to see the creative process, because mm-hmm. I, you know, it's one thing to, like, for me to hum something and then go over to Bart, my producer's next door too. That's a good thing and a bad thing. So it's one thing to, like, you know, think of a song, create it, go over there and him make sense of it and us record it, polish it and put it out there. Mm-hmm. But now, since I've been more conscious of the creative process, I've been sharing at those embryonic stages, which is really cool. Because mm-hmm. as I sat there 2 days ago, I had this piece, I posted it, and then people share what they were thinking and what they were feeling and the place that the music took them. And then 2 days later, I sat back down. And with all of those other ingredients, I sat down and then it went to another place. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I don't know, as I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm thinking, will I put lyrics to it or will it just be a piano piece or what does that look like? So now I'm getting to the point where it's either a song with lyrics or it's either an instrumental piece. And I'm thinking probably by the time I'm 45 or 50, I'll be able to do a show of covers of pieces I've written on the piano, of songs that I can sing. My show will be a combination of who I am and where I'm at as an artist.
Right.
And the process has drastically changed, especially over the past 3 years. For 3 years now, and this is really weird because as we're doing this interview, I'm sitting in my closet. I call it my closet sanctuary. And I wrote secretly. I woke up every morning an hour early. I didn't tell anyone. And I wrote for 74 mornings. And I stopped writing the morning I turned 40. And I didn't know, but it ended up being a place to grieve the loss of my dad. It mm-hmm. was a place to remember. It was a place to release. It was a place. It ended up unfolding as an audiobook. I never knew this, but I sat down and said yes to a dream. And I kept going until I finished it. I wrote every single day. And as I wrote, secretly wrote, I had all of these nudges. Walt, our baby, was 4. And he went to my grandma's and said, in his husky little voice, he said, "Grandma, I wish I hear Papa voice again." And my mom phoned me and told me this. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm writing my story. And it's actually going to be an audiobook. And then as I started creating, I started piecing in pieces of every one of my 62 songs that I've written in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so that has been a creation, and it'll be 3 years. I'm releasing it in probably 2.5 months. It's done. We're just weaving in the pieces of my music now. And it's honestly, without sounding funny, I think it's like everything, and it doesn't matter. It's for my family and whoever else who needs to grieve or listen to some creativity. Like it's all my art, and it's all of my compositions, and it's all of my music and my lyrics, and it's my entire heart. So it's been a really good place for me, and I've never, never created something for 3 years. Like, this is absurd. I've been working on this for 3 years. And yes, now I get to sing with the symphony on the 20th. And, you know, I'm taking my lessons with Martin, but I have never had a creative project of this magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what I was saying yes to. And I know that it's really special. And it's been special for me. And I think at the end of the day, I'm getting to the point where, you know, shedding the name, shedding the stage name, now just showing up who I am and finding out what my purpose is. And my purpose is as clear as day. And that's to connect with people through my gifts.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And what a gift that audiobook will be, even just down the line, for your kids to be able to listen to and to hear, oh, that, you know, that song, you had sent me a preview. It's like, oh, that song's about me, or, you know, I'm the character in this story. And it makes me think of, so my great uncle, when he was a teenager and he had like a tape recorder, or it wasn't even a tape recorder, it was like on a record. And he interviewed my great grandparents when he was a teenager. And then he sent them out to all of the relatives. And I remember my mom like sitting and just being like, I haven't heard their voice in so long. Right. And it was just, they just told a story about how they met and fell in love. And it was like, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But like, what a gift that is.
Oh, absolutely. It gives me goosebumps. But, and that's what I said in my audiobook. Like, I don't know the day that my dad didn't speak again.
Mm.
And like, nobody knows that day, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't know. You just, like, we don't know. And I mean, that we're perfectly healthy. And the thing is that you don't know when that day, we don't know when our time is up. And with something with, like a disease where we were all saying goodbye to dad so slowly.
Mm.
I didn't know. So then all of a sudden one day, like I didn't know when the last day was that I'd hear his voice. So when I had this dream that I was going to write this book when I was 40, I was like, what is this? Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what is this going? What is this? I can't even believe. What would I write about? And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's not, it's, mm-hmm. I'm starting right now. I'm starting May 23rd. It was the Monday of the May long weekend. It was like, no, I'm actually starting today and I'm finishing this book when I'm 40. And as I grieved and wrote, like I said, I didn't know what I was saying yes to. And then Walt saying that to my mom, I was like, my voice, they're going to get my voice.
Yeah.
And my producer says, and Olivia, this is funny that you said that, because my producer T-Bone, so I'm recording it at T-Bone Sound Lounge, and Bart McKay Productions does all of my music. Oh, like I said, huge project. And T-Bone said to me, he goes, you know, Ellen, I'm remembering my stories, listening to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that's so cool too. Because yes, I'm sharing my stories of Bella and Millie and Sam and Walt and John's and my relationship and the passing of my dad and the real estate and the creativity and the music industry. I'm sharing all of that. And I'm sharing my memories and my things that make me feel good. And inevitably, it's lighting up T-Bone and he's remembering his stories.
Right.
It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a unique idea. I think that I mean, I'm a big audiobook listener, so more audiobooks are coming out with soundtracks behind them. But to be able to weave in your original music with the stories, how did you decide, you know, what songs, where they're going?
It was organic. It was honestly, so what I did at the point where I thought, where I knew now that this was not going to be a book, it was actually going to be an audiobook. Then I brought up all of my albums because as I was sharing the stories, I was like, oh, and I wrote this song during that or that boyfriend breakup. I wrote this song. Or, oh, when I was pining over the painter in my mom's backyard, I wrote, Mr. Painter, won't you paint a smile on me? And I was like, oh, that was in this. Honestly, the organic choreography, I said to my husband, John, and to my mom, I said, you know, it's been so, like, I almost want to say, like, organically choreographed, because, like, I couldn't sit down and come up with this plan. It just evolved. And I was like, this song, I could put in a piece of this song. I could put a piece of this piano composition as I was reading the obituary that our family wrote about my dad. Oh my gosh, when dad was dying, I wrote this piano piece. I'll pull it from my piano album. So I have all this music under Ellen Kolinick, Ellie Thorne, Ellen Nasser. And I was like, this is the way to bring all of this together in this creation. And they just, honestly, Olivia, they just magically loaded into the project. I mean, at one point I'd hold up, you know, my 1234 album and I'll say, oh, okay, I haven't used this one. Oh, this is perfect here. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. It just truly, it was so divinely orchestrated. It was like, there's no doubt about it. I had to say yes to it 100%. And now I said to my brother 2 years later, Lee, because he's my business partner in real estate. He said, Ellen, he's like, I'm so certain June 13th is dad's third year anniversary. And I was like, what? So I do feel ready to release it because it's been quite a
journey.
Ride. Yeah. Well, it has been. And yeah. To go through the being with him when he had took his last breath and going back there mm-hmm. and then editing and then reading the story and then layering in the music, like it has been quite a journey. And like I said, so healing for me, but it's been an epic journey for me, and I am ready. I'm ready. Like I'm really, really hoping that it will be done by dad's 3 year anniversary, which I think it will be. I think it will be, which I'll be so happy.
And oh, it sounds like a lot of emotional labor through that whole process. Oh, too, right.
Tons.
So as beautiful as it is, it's still work and it's still, like you said, like a process of the grieving. Yeah.
100%. So it's called First 40, Grieving and Healing in the Middle of Littles. And that's the other thing. I have found the grieving in the middle of littles has been really hard because like even you and I getting to this interview, it's like I have to hide in my closet. And I put Sophie, I put the puppy outside of two doors and somehow
she still made her way in.
Like, how is Sophie in the closet with me? Like, you heard her barking. It's hysterical. Like, I ran, some kid let her in another door. Like, it's hilarious. So, I mean, it's been quite a journey to say the least.
Yes. I'm wondering, do you have, to go back to your songwriting, do you have like a favorite song that you've written and like the story behind that song that you'd like to share?
Well, there's a song right now. My favorite album is my Stillness album because it's just all of those songs I wrote when my dad was dying. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I didn't have a voice. And so, yeah, I probably like those piano ones. It's funny, like any piano, real piano player would be like, oh, these are like, I'm no real piano player in them. You know, they're just me playing the piano. I would say one of my favorite songs I wrote, it's called There's a Heaven. And it's on my Christmas album, actually, Ellie Thorne. And, I wrote a song about a family that they were hit by a drunk driver. And when I heard, I didn't know them, but when I heard about the news, it was around Christmas and we were taking down Christmas. And our kids were the age of the two that had passed away. Mm. And the song just absolutely poured out of me. Mm. And so it's called There's a Heaven. And that one is a special one to me for sure. But I have so many, like off my Ellen Kolinick album, I have this beautiful song called Over Again. And I also have one called Hold You Close. I have so many.
Because they've been, yeah.
Well, because they've just been so healing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote one. Well, I wrote one called You Didn't Even Know Me. And that was also under Ellie Thorne. And we ended up creating a video when it was the time where the refugees were coming over. Mm-hmm. And we ended up releasing that video. It had, oh gosh, it has quite a few views. And my father-in-law, they're immigrants from Lebanon, and mm-hmm. they ended up matching all the money we raised through Red Cross. Anyways, that song was huge because it impacted a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And on a funny note, I have a video called Am I the Only One? And it's that's an Ellie Thorne one. And it's like, am I the only one? One Christmas has begun, gun. Am I the only one? One, one. It's December 1, 1, 1, 1. Put eggnog in my rum, rum, rum. And then I go, the teachers. It's like about a strung out mom getting ready for Christmas. And she has all these kids. And then she's like, the teacher. Yeah. Anyways, it's quite ridiculous. And it gets a lot of laughs at Christmas.
One of those ones that can recirculate.
Oh, and, yeah. Totally. And it's like, am I the only one? One. And it's like, is Christmas almost done? Done, done. It's a funny one. So yeah.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Oh, fun. Well, you have an upcoming concert with the Saskatoon Symphony Orchestra. So I wonder if we could talk about that real quick. I wonder if you could talk more about the program and what the audience can look forward to and what you're going to sing.
Well, I get to sing two covers this time, which is exciting because I don't usually sing cover songs. And I chose, Mark Turner is phenomenal. We all know that. He's just unbelievable. I got to choose my two songs, and it's a Niall Horan song. It's called This Town. And it's cool because our girls are 14 and 12, and Bella's 14, Millie's 12, Sam's 9, Walt is 6. And anyways, I wanted to pick one that they would like. Mm-hmm. So I picked that, and that was a considerable time ago. So now they don't like it as much. I didn't think of that. And then my favorite, growing up in Saltcote, my favorite movie was Beaches. Do you know Beaches?
I don't.
Olivia, are you serious?
I don't. Sorry.
Bette Midler. Olivia, promise me you'll watch it.
I'll watch it. I'll put it on my list.
Oh, Olivia, it is so amazing. So Bette Midler, and she has this best friend, and it's Barbara Hershey, and they have this childhood. Barbara's a lawyer, and Cece Bloom is a performing artist. It's a tearjerker. Anyways, my favorite song, my favorite movie growing up. And of course, Cece does her Glory of Love. You gotta win a little, lose a little. You've gotta have the blues a little. Do you know?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So anyways, can you imagine on the big stage in the symphony, it'll be just like the closing number in Beaches. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. Oh, I love it.
I'm looking forward to it. Great.
Oh, you are so, honestly, you make this way too easy.
Well, that's really kind of you to say.
No, you are really good at this. I'm not joking. Like, you are so good at your job.
Well, it's been such a pleasure getting to chat with you. I thought we could wrap up with our rapid fire questions that I have for this series. So all of the singers on the YXC Divas show are answering the same rapid fire questions. No wrong answers. Just go with your gut. Could you point to a moment when you knew you wanted to be a musician?
Singing with my sister, singing harmony with my sister, wise men say, and having grandpa just love listening to us.
Oh, I love that. What is your desert island album?
Oh gosh, desert island album. Honestly, probably that's the worst question ever. Probably a Beatles album. Yeah, I would probably take a Beatles album. Like any of them, I don't care. Maybe the White Album, because there's quite a few in there.
Do you have a pre-performance ritual, and what is it?
Funny that you ask. You know what? I was thinking about this morning, getting ready for the day. I don't. Probably some deep breathing and some meditation for sure. Just ensuring that my energy is grounded. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily just, you know, the same old, like ensuring that I'm warmed up and lots of fluids during the day, and just keeping life simple the day of, you know?
Right. Yeah. If you could give one piece of musical advice to a fellow musician out there, what would it be?
It would be advice that Martin gave me. He told me that the work doesn't show up in the rising of the sun. He wants to ensure that we understand that even though the hard work may not appear to be showing up every day, it eventually shows up. Mm. And that hard work and that process all of a sudden is 100% apparent. So I would say, as a 41-year-old mom, I would say that honestly, if you want to start piano lessons, or if you want to start cello lessons or violin lessons, or start singing lessons, whatever you may want to be doing, you have to remember your soul is asking for that. And there's an element of healing that happens when you say yes. And guess what? It doesn't have to make sense. Like, that's the thing, Olivia, it doesn't have to make sense. I have been studying Mandarin for 2 years. I wrote a song under Ellen Nasser. It's called Sophie Dug, Sophie My Dog. And it's fun. It's half English. It's half Mandarin. And it's fun. And it makes, like, who would have ever in a million years would have thought I would have written a half English, half Mandarin song with my teacher, Wo de Lao Shi, with my teacher. It doesn't have to make sense. Just doing it is causing your brain to do different things. It's lighting you up. When you do it, your whole life starts changing. You start making different choices. You start making wiser decisions. You start thinking outside the box. Your one choice then ended up leading you to another choice that doesn't make sense. And all of a sudden you're here and it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say is that if you do have something in you that is calling you, it doesn't have to make sense, but you know if it's right for you. And your body, your whole being, your universe, it knows. And you know. So listen carefully. That's what I'd say.
Well, thank you, Ellen. Thanks for coming on Loud and Clear. Do you mind letting our audience know where they can find you? And I'll make sure to have links to everything in the show notes.
Yes, you can find me at Ellen Nasser Official on Instagram. And that's probably the best place. Oh, you could also go to ellennasser.com. And there's you can decide. There's a real estate link. And there's a music link.
Wonderful.
Choice of yours.
It's great that's on the same spot. Yeah.
It is cool. I would choose the music. Oh, Olivia, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming on, Ellen.
It's my pleasure.
And that is almost a wrap on our YXE Divas series. That was the last performer that you will hear from. And we've got one more special interview with the wonderful maestro behind this whole fabulous show. And I'm excited to release that episode on Friday. So if you're listening to the episode the week that it drops, you still have time to get tickets to the YXE Divas show, either virtual or in person. Like I've said before, the virtual shows are fabulous. The quality is top notch. I've enjoyed many concerts from the SSO through their concertstream.tv platform. So I will have links to all of that in the show notes. And it has just been so much fun getting to bring this series to you. It gives me lots of pride in my home city and my hometown orchestra. And I am so excited that I get to be there live for the show and hear all of these amazing artists in person. And so be sure to grab your tickets before Saturday night. And I look forward to seeing you there. As always, please help the show out by leaving us a positive rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy. Thanks so much. This has been the YXE Divas series. My name is Olivia Adams. This is Loud and Clear, and I'll talk to you on Friday. Bye for now.